Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
So what do you say to people that fear that if you do succeed here, that you might leave for the NFL again in a year or two?
Yeah, well, I didn't come here to leave.
It's Bill Belichick at his introductory press conference at the University of North Carolina. All those people clapping along, I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah!
Those losers.
Well, I didn't come here to leave.
Unless the NFL calls.
Yeah. Unless Tom Brady gives me a call. Those losers clapping along, though, Nick.
That's weird.
They would turn on.
Person. Yeah, might be,
that's true.
Might be loser.
Jordan. No, yeah. But other people jumped in. Other people jumped in after it.
Well, it's a weird spot. Like, if you're in a place and a
they
couple
turn
people
on Bill so quick, yeah. They would be like, "Boo, he left." You know, like any college fan base where you leave. Listen to all those losers.
But if you were in a place, maybe you weren't really paying attention, and a few people next to you started clapping, don't you just like, yeah, all right, hey, okay.
The guy that wakes up on the
meme of the guy waking up, 100%. No, 100%. That's what I would do.
Okay. That guy's great.
There's nothing more powerful than peer pressure. I firmly believe in this. Like, you, with peer pressure,
you're clapping,
you could,
I'll clap.
You could probably get me to do anything with peer pressure.
It's true.
I would follow the herd.
I'm not proud of it.
On just about anything with peer pressure.
You
could break me. And so, yeah, no, if a bunch of people start clapping, I would clap along whether I wanted to or not. True. It's Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. It's the 11 o'clock hour. It is a Bruins Thursday. You heard Mike Milbury earlier today. We'll talk to the Razor.
Oh, the Razor.
Andrew Raycroft.
How do you think he feels about the Bees right now?
Well, probably better than us. If I had to guess, Keith, I think he's going to try to cheer us up a little bit when it comes to the Bruins.
I'd be happy for a positive spin on this,
yeah.
Because it is it's tough to do.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say he feels better than we do about the Bruins, but we'll find out with the Razor.
That's right.
Andrew Raycroft of Nesson when he joins us coming up less than a half hour from now, so stay tuned for that. With all your phone calls, 617-779-7937. Bunch of you lined up with plans to fix the Patriots coaching staff and front office. You can yell at us as well, like Shane and Plymouth did. That's fine. I didn't remember my Bieniemy take from years ago.
But he did.
But that's fine. Use your 30 seconds. The 30 seconds are yours. You do with them what you want.
I'd rather you fix the Patriots coaching staff
or
fill out the coaching staff.
You're right. I should rephrase. We'll take your phone calls on whatever. But when we're putting you on the clock,
yeah.
Preferably it's a plan.
Yeah.
Shane in Plymouth.
All right.
Real quick, you heard the story yesterday. We spent basically the last 2 hours on it, that Tom Brady called Bill Belichick and asked him about the Raiders coaching gig. I was skeptical about the real level of interest. I'm sure the phone call happened, but I'm skeptical of the real level of interest. That was from Tom Pelissero yesterday. Within a half hour of us leaving yesterday, Keith, Diana Russini, your girl.
Yeah, she's right all the time.
I don't know if you want to believe this or not.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick has no plans to return to the NFL, per sources. I'm told his sole focus is on coaching and recruiting for North Carolina, as he'll continue building the Tar Heels' future. He's recruiting today in New Jersey.
So nice.
I think, by the way, both the Pelissero story and the Russini story could have come from Bill's side.
Yeah.
They both make Bill look good. The NFL wants
Still
me, but
wants
I'm
him. Yeah.
not leaving. Right. I said I'm not leaving. I'm committed to North Carolina.
Now you get a couple more recruits that way. He's already got a bunch of transfer portal guys. So, yeah, it looks good. The NFL still wants me.
I know they're both sides of the street. Like, one is saying Bill's going to the NFL, the other isn't. But I think they're both coming from Bill's side, to be honest, because they both help Bill.
They're not saying he's going. They're just saying, like, do you think
interest.
All right. Do the Raiders have more interest in Bill Belichick than the Patriots have in Pep Hamilton?
maybe.
Or is it the same?
Like, maybe.
Maybe a little bit more.
It's close. Yeah. But no, you're right. And I'm still waiting for that second team. We're very quick to say the Raiders are one of the teams.
Multiple teams.
Yeah, who's that other team?
Well, Raiders and a mystery.
Why is that team anonymous? Why does team need to be anonymous?
Yeah.
I'm going to butcher this name.
Go ahead.
But he covers the Raiders.
The Raiders.
For the Review Journal.
Okay. Wait, where's that? Vegas?
Vegas.
They got it. All right.
Yeah, I thought Bedard was supposed to work there briefly, actually. Mm. Vincent Bonsignore?
Nailed it.
Bonsignore.
Dr. Bunsen Honeydew? That guy's great. One of the best scientists, probably.
That's it.
On screen.
Him and Beaker, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Beaker was kind of always...
Beaker's like his right-hand man.
Screwing things up, though.
Yeah, a lot of explosions.
But what's his name again? Bunsen Honeydew?
Dr. Bunsen Honeydew.
I'm sorry,
he looks like a honeydew melon.
I don't mean to shortchange him.
He went to a lot of schooling.
Yeah.
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 Invents a lot of things.
He worked hard for that title. Yes, he's reporting from the Vegas Journal The sense I'm getting on the Raiders, Bill Belichick per sources, the talks are more about Brady picking Belichick's brain on a search process and traits, etc., rather than trying to bring him to Vegas as a coach.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That makes perfect sense. Yeah. In fact, I think we said that yesterday. Mm. Brady called Bill, picked his brain. Hey, what would you be looking for in a coach? What do you think about this guy? What do you think about that guy? Bill's very, very, very influential in getting coaches hired. We learned that from the Brian Flores lawsuit.
Brian.
Bill is, yeah, exactly.
Screw up the Bryans.
Bill is like hiring coaches throughout the league.
How do you think Joe Judge got the Giants job?
Thank you.
That was Belichick. How do you think Matt Patricia got the Lions job?
His opinion carries a lot of sway in the league with these owners, and he's had connections over a half century in the NFL. Not that he can get himself a job these days.
Yeah.
But he was shadow hiring people for years as head coach of the Patriots.
Even with that news, Belichick is not in the top five on the odds for the Raiders. He's actually sixth, I think, just to throw it out there.
Who are the five?
Mike Vrabel won, but it's still plus money.
Yep.
So I think it's wide open with the Raiders. Cliff Kingsbury, Ben Johnson, Kellen Moore, Joe Brady.
So Bill's below Bill Kellen Belichick. Moore and Joe Brady.
Yep.
And so, you're telling me he's going to work in the NFL again?
No, he says he's staying in North Carolina, but it's like a little bit of, you know, I guess positive pub way.
I can see how that phone call goes. It's like, oh, what do you think of all these guys? And then at the end of the call, it's like, oh, and by the Bill, I mean,
you'd be the best candidate.
Bill, would you have any interest in the job? Like, it's like obligatory at the end of the call.
Oh, don't flatter me, Tom.
Yeah. And so I'm guessing that's how it went, if I had to guess.
Yeah.
Have you changed your mind at all based on those odds or the story yesterday that Bill will coach in the NFL again?
I think he's just going to coach at North Carolina. That's what it feels like. I don't think there's a lot of interest, and it's funny. You know, it took Tom Brady to own a team for there to even be this story out there. You know, so if he didn't own the team, I don't think we're talking about this. The Raiders were also the last one to fire a coach. So there was three in-season firings, and there was no Bill connection. Then there was two, and I know one of them was the Patriots, so really one more right after. No connection to Bill. I think those guys got ahead of it. Those guys being Bill and Lombardi and everybody else, like, they got ahead of it. They realized it wasn't going to be there. So rather than waiting till now to jump in and being behind the eight ball, he wanted to coach, and he's coaching in college because he knew that was the only place that would take him.
I think he's at North Carolina following three-star recruits
until
he hangs it up. I mean, that's my guess if you're asking me to predict it. But I think he would, you know, shove Jordan out of the way to get a job in the NFL again.
Definitely.
Like, I think he desperately wants it. I think that's where this story came from yesterday. It's why it's out there. It's true.
Yeah.
Brady called him. I believe that. But why is it out there? Why is it known? Because Bill wants people to think the NFL still wants him.
Yeah.
And
including recruits.
Because I think, well, that's true too.
Yeah.
It helps him at North Carolina.
Yeah.
But I think he also desperately wants to be there. 617-779-7937. I'm not sure. Is Paul and Quincy, do you have a plan, or is this more of a take for the Patriots filling out their coaching staff in front office?
Now, I kind of have a plan. I don't want...
Let's put it on the clock. You're on the clock, Paul.
I want somebody to come in like Ben Johnson, who's going to come in with... I want to get rid of the Belichick era. You know what I mean? What I'd like to see for offensive coordinator is Josh McCown. We might have two second-year quarterbacks on this team next year, and I want somebody who can work with them. So get a quarterback's coach, too. But I'd like Johnson to come in, Robert Saleh as a defensive coordinator, and Josh McCown.
Beautiful.
Okay, that's how you do it.
Little tail there. It's like a Stiz grab bag clip.
It's some of the grab bags. That's fine.
There's a little tail on there.
A lot of momentum for Robert Saleh. People like the Robert Saleh. I know there was some connection for whatever reason with Vrabel. Did those guys overlap anywhere? Maybe?
No. In fact, I thought Vrabel was either supposed to replace Saleh in San Fran or turned down the job, and that's how Saleh got the San Fran D coordinator job. Mm. Vrabel, when he was in Houston as the D coordinator or maybe a linebackers coach before he was D coordinator, turned down the Niners. So maybe there was an indirect correlation there, but I think Saleh might have got the job because Vrabel turned it down.
Got it. Because Saleh was in Houston before Vrabel got to Houston, right? But regardless, I like that one just because if you're not going to have a head coach with head coaching experience, it's a tried-and-true formula.
It'd be a great one.
The Sean McVay-Wade Phillips thing is one that everybody points to Sean McVay, rightfully so, an offensive genius, and you're trying to emulate that. And whether it's Kevin O'Connell or Kyle Shanahan or Matt LaFleur, Zachary Taylor, Mike McDaniel, like all these different guys, I think when you've had somebody you can trust on the other side with some experience, that's really when it's been the best. So having Wade Phillips there for those first, you know, he wasn't there forever. He was there, sort of established what was going on defense, and then that team was able to still be good after. He was able to develop other really good defensive coaches, like Raheem Morris was there and other ones, and they were fine. But that, I think, is the key if you get somebody like Ben Johnson. Don't make the same mistake that you did with Jerod Mayo.
Well, that's what I was just going
to
say.
Is Van Pelton Covington, you were setting him up to fail. And I don't think Kraft got into that specifically, but when he led his press conference, it was like, I feel bad for Jerod. One of it would be, or one of the reasons would be that.
This is part of the failure with Mayo. You gave him no support staff. And this was highlighted in the Chad Graff story. So I think ownership recognizes it, because I think that story came from ownership. Not to dismiss Chad Graff's reporting chops or anything like that.
No.
But I think it's coming from their side. And
it also
explaining,
makes Robert Kraft look worse.
Well,
I don't think they think it does. I think they're putting it on Mayo, but it's like, all right, well, who put Mayo in place?
Correct.
Who hired Mayo five years ago?
But Kraft has taken blame for that. I mean, in fairness to Kraft, he said, I put him in a bad position. I was wrong for that, however he worded it. But I think that came from ownership, because right there in the story, it's a first-year head coach, first-year coordinator, or first-year play caller anyway on offense, first-year coordinator on defense, first-year quarterbacks coach, first-year wide receivers coach, first-year special teams coach, blah, 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 blah.
But it's like, you set him up to fail. The first part of that is you.
Right.
So that's why I blame him.
No, I definitely blame him, but I think he's okay with that being out there, because he already blamed himself.
No, I know. And then they just want such a change of pace and such a, oh, look who's coming in. It's Mike Vrabel. We're not going to have these same problems. That's what they're also setting up.
He mentioned, the caller mentioned Josh McCown. I wouldn't dismiss that as a name with Vrabel, by the way.
Okay.
That name also came from Chad Graff. Jeez. I believe, right over the holidays.
What a busy beaver this guy is.
I think it was Chad Graff. Let me fact check myself on that.
Yeah, right,
but
not.
I think he was the one who dropped the McCown name over the holiday break.
Who's only been in coaching for 2 years. Of course, he was a player for 100 years. Like, he had a really long career as a...
It was the Athletic that floated his name. He's interviewing for jobs right now.
He was the quarterback's coach this year, or is the quarterback's coach this year, with the Vikings. So you and I give Kevin O'Connell a ton of credit for making Sam Darnold look like a, you know, all-pro this year. But that guy was right there.
And
so if you were trying to get in on the ground floor of one of these offensive minds, maybe it's him.
And when we talked about this last week, because we're usually ahead of stuff, Keith, and we talked about his name last week.
I mean, normally.
He coached Drake May, or helped assist Drake May's high school team at Myers Park in North Carolina when May, I think, was a junior there. So there is a connection to Drake May. So I wouldn't dismiss that name. You're the Muppets expert?
Yes, I am.
617-779-7937. Tell me if you agree or disagree with this, Keith. Without Beaker, Bunsen is nothing.
Agreed. One of the great tandems of all time.
See,
you could argue
like
the same for Beaker.
I'd have to rewatch. Oh, well, good point.
Right? Like, you need somebody to do the experiments with you. A lot of them require four hands.
So Beaker's not holding him back? I thought impression without rewatching, and it's been a while, Muppets, Muppet Babies, Muppet Movies. It's been a while since I've watched any, but my instinct was Beaker was holding Bunsen back.
Disagree. I think those guys work very well together. I don't think Bunsen has nearly as many breakthroughs if it wasn't for Beaker.
And some of the experiments.
And some of the comedic effect, too. I think it kept it light.
Yeah.
You know, because if you're a scientist, I'm sure you could drive yourself crazy.
You
got to
love what you do.
Yeah. And Beaker was always there with some, like, positive reinforcement.
And some experiments.
And he'd do anything. Like, he's a test subject, for God's sakes.
Good point. And some of the experiments need four hands, as you said. That's,
I think that's
very important.
Sounds like a Saturday night. The old Keefe House.
617-779-7937. I think we have another plan here. I'm having trouble deciphering.
Get the clock ready.
Sean in Canada, you're on the clock.
Jeez Louise.
I didn't hear a thing he said.
Oh, yeah, it was kind of gargled.
I would dub that for sure. He
tough start. Yeah, you try to put people on the clock. I think the clock does make people nervous. We had the one caller was like, please don't. Just please don't.
We can ask Razor about this. Different clocks in Canada, I think. They tell time.
Yeah, what time is it there?
Differently. Well, in the Maritimes, they're ahead of us.
That is confusing.
Like, PEI is ahead of Eastern Standard Time.
Right.
Nova Scotia is ahead of Eastern Standard Time. So the Maritimes are ahead of us.
So they've already had lunch?
Correct. Yeah. Yes. They're at lunch right now, maybe.
Hot diggity.
Depends on what time you eat your lunch. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they're ahead of us. You know, Western Canada, obviously, far behind. But soon to be America. Look. It's soon to be America. It's all going to be fixed anyway. Don't worry about it.
I don't know if you can swear in Canada on the radio, but you can't. In the United States. At least not yet. Eventually, will be, I would think.
Yeah. I left Sean on hold. We'll let Sean mellow out a little bit.
Let's try somebody else.
The clock can throw you off.
Yeah, it can.
I'm not sure all of these are plans. Tony in West Springfield, our guy Big Head Tony. Hello, Tony.
Big Head. What up, Big Head Tony?
Hey.
What is going on?
So no more calls.
The clock has people panicking, Keith.
What the hell? Big Head Tony calls all the time. He doesn't swear. Don't swear. What is going on with people today?
I have a good feeling we know what clip du jour is today. I have a good feeling.
Good grief.
Some of the plans didn't go quite according to plan, as it were.
Twitch chat's enjoying that because it's uncensored. It's the uncensored cut on the Twitch chat.
You can say whatever the hell you want.
It's the adult tour on the Twitch chat.
It is.
But for everybody else, it is not. We do need to adhere to FCC rules.
So Tony's
knock it off.
Tony's plan is a bunch of big head jokes and then he curses.
He did have two or three rapid-fire big head jokes, and then he just swore. He just went and lost himself. I don't know. I don't get it. You know what is funny, though? It is contagious, because since we've been doing the show together, we'll go weeks without anybody swearing, and then there'll be, like, one show with, like, four people just, like,
you
lose
think
their
so?
Minds.
You think that's how it goes?
Yes. That's how I remember it.
Have you ever had to be dumped for cursing on the air?
I don't think so.
I've had to be dumped for innuendo, for sure. Yeah. I mean,
run and throw. He's built like a brick house.
Yeah, I think I've maybe crossed the line with some of the innuendo in the past, but I don't think swearing.
I've for sure been dumped for that. I don't think a word like either of the two we just heard I've ever been dumped for, ever.
No.
In my radio career, I don't think.
No.
Credit to us. But I guess my point is, if one of us slips up, the other one, it might be contagious and the other one kind of has to do it.
I think that's what would happen.
Okay. Yeah. Good to know.
I mean, the Dork Podcast is the Wild West. You don't want your kids listening to the Dork Podcast.
No.
There's anything goes there.
I just heard about...
That is explicit content.
I just heard about your fall.
Yeah.
What you guys celebrate in the fall.
Yeah.
Just risque.
I think Santo might celebrate the same thing. Courtney's still kind of struggling with that.
No,
she was shooketh.
Frazzled is the word you used
yesterday. Yeah.
Maybe still a little flustered today. She went from frazzled to flustered,
I think.
Yes,
she was. And Greg doesn't seem to be letting it go, which is sort of not helping her cause.
No. Not a lot to grab onto, but he's not. He's not letting it go.
No, not
That's
quite.
True. Just to reiterate some of the Gerard Mayo stuff while we ramp up our delay here. On the radio where you can't curse.
By the way, the most unnecessary smear campaign in the history of smear campaigns.
Okay.
In my mind.
But I think it's somewhat necessary to justify Vrabel to the fan base. You don't need to stab Mayo in the back, but I think to really get... Because how many callers now, Keith?
Yeah.
We get a ton of them. I heard a bunch driving in, listening to Greg's show this morning. In fact, I heard most of the show outside of Scheim agreeing with it. You can't have another first-year head coach. I think,
feel like they felt that way anyway.
You think so?
Yeah. I think they wanted Vrabel anyway. I think we started to get Vrabel calls middle of the season.
So I think people wanted Vrabel, but I don't get... The first-year head coach thing, I think, has really picked up steam since Mayo went south.
Yeah,
and I think ownership is trying to justify that with these stories. But you're right. No one reads it and goes, wow, Gerard Mayo was the happiest guy in the world getting Gatorade dumped on him?
No, I know. It's a bad look. But also, like, the hiring somebody's inside linebacker coach might be more of a red flag than, like, a team's offensive coordinator for multiple years.
Yeah.
Like, that's usually how first-year head coaches get into those spots. They're very successful coordinators. They're not inside linebacker coaches who didn't even call plays.
Right, and that's fair. Comparing
he's
Ben
not
Johnson's,
the same first-year head coach.
Ben Johnson's resume to Gerard Mayo's resume is night and day.
Optum.
Ben Johnson has worked in the NFL since 2012 or something like that, right?
Oh, yeah. Long time. He's a young guy, but he's been in the league a long time,
He's been calling
too.
Plays and a coordinator for the last, whatever, 3-4 years in Detroit.
Yeah.
Mayo was never a coordinator.
No.
Never called plays. No. Was only a coach for 5 years. It was all here. He had no experience with different coaches,
he
different coaching staffs, how things are done.
He didn't even interview for the head coaching job.
So, right. So,
it's
to say
different.
To say they're the same is foolish, but they would be the same in that they're first-year head coaches. Fair. It does sound like the lawlessness, and I think this is still blaming Mayo, wasn't just about Mayo and how he did things oddly. I think the players really were dysfunctional this year.
Yeah.
Late to meetings, you know, tuning out coaching early. We had the story the other day. I'm trying to remember where that was from.
Well,
that,
I also think...
Oh, we didn't believe in him starting back in the spring.
Yeah, no, that was bad. I also, and this is something that we were on as the season progressed, they didn't have a lot of standout leaders for players, and then the ones that they did all got hurt. Remember how insane it was when you were like, here are the original captains for the year, and then David Andrews goes down. One of them is a quarterback who you were going to bench anyway. And then it's like other guys that were all hurt. Then you have the off-field incident with Jabril Peppers. You're like, these are the leaders. They're not even really playing anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, like, Drake May sort of thrust into, like, a leadership role in his rookie year. He wasn't even the starter week one, two, three, four. So I think that was it was just a mess from Jump Street.
It was, and never mind the off-field stuff.
Yeah.
Peppers, Barmore. Not to necessarily compare those two. One is accused of much worse.
Right.
But, you know, they had their own raft of off-field stuff this year. Javon Baker at the airport to kick the whole thing off.
Well, yeah, like every week you're putting out some sort of fire, even if it was like an innocuous, like, you know, Instagram story, or it was a guy going to a reporter saying he's not being used properly in the offense, or a guy saying, oh, the rest of my team's quitting, or like all, like every week there was something else. And it was usually from, like, a below-average player, like, calling everybody out. Like, right. Oh, the problem isn't, like, the coaching. It's, like, the players. And you're like you?
Is it?
Like, it was just, or it is, but it might be, well, it's more than that.
Yeah.
But it was just a lot of finger-pointing, like, throughout the year.
So, you know, the idea is Vrabel will come in here and this won't happen. We should really look at that. And I'll do some work on that tonight. What were the incidents like?
Did Vrabel have issues in Tennessee?
Yeah, I mean, did Vrabel have it? I honestly don't know. I know he feuded with John Robinson. He ended up being right over A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
But how did that actually go in terms of, like, player discipline and off-field stuff? I mean, does Vrabel have a good track record on that? We'll have to dig in on that. 617-779-7937. We'll dig in on the Bruins as well. The Razor, Andrew Raycroft from Nesson, is going to join us.
And the horn sounds. The Edmonton Oilers are going to hand the Bruins their first regulation loss on home ice since Black Friday. Your final tonight, Oilers 4 and the Bruins nothing.
It's a fun hockey team.
What's going on?
What's happened to these guys?
I honestly don't know, Keith.
That's why we have an expert on.
It's why we have the Razor on every week.
That's right.
On a Bruins Thursday, Andrew Raycroft of Nesson. He joins us here, brought to you by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know. When your drains don't flow. Razor, what's going on?
Good morning, guys. I figured instead of talking Bruins and save me from that, we could just talk about what time it is in Canada across all the different provinces.
How did I do?
I would like to know.
How did I do, Razor?
15 minutes that way.
How did I do? I think I did pretty good, didn't I?
Yeah, you seem like you know it.
I know the Maritimes.
Yeah, you're all over it. And actually, I have an argument that says that Boston should actually be on Atlantic Standard Time, like PEI in Nova Scotia, because we're so far east, we have no sunlight, and it would actually help our daylight savings issues. So if we went on Atlantic Time, it would be we'd be ahead of an hour ahead of New York, and we'd be smarter than them.
So I do like that idea until you get into things like Monday Night Football starting at 10 o'clock. That seems like it would be late.
No, it'd start earlier.
No, you're right.
Come on, Jones. You were doing so well. No, it would start later.
I just knew what time it was there. Now I'm trying to think about what time it would be here. Yeah, Monday Night Football at 9?
That's a problem.
That is, 9:30 even. By the time it gets.
And we start earlier?
Right. Oh, boy.
Just another quick one to distract from the Bruins is Newfoundland's a half an hour. Another half an hour ahead. Then that's why they're newfies, because it's an hour and a half ahead.
That's outrageous. A half hour difference? Now you do the math in your head?
Keith, that's why they're goofy newfies. They don't do anything right there, Razor.
I can't figure that out.
No.
It's too much.
That's wild, huh?
Okay.
Well, thanks for coming on, Razor. We'll talk to you next week.
Well, and by the way, I was going to say, welcome to America. I don't know if you realize all of Canada is going to be part of America soon. So welcome on that front.
Yes, it is.
What is wrong with the Bruins?
I'm having so much fun with it.
What's going on with the Bruins, Razor? Because it's 5 straight losses and 6 out of 7, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a tough go from out of the holidays, where everyone was feeling very good about it. And the reality, you know, they played two really good road games last week and lost both of them 2-1, but everything was fine. And then you realize what happens in the NHL when you don't win games you're supposed to, like those 2-1 games. You don't score, you don't find a way, it starts to snowball on you, and that's where they're at here on the schedule. So a couple reasons. I think we're really seeing how important Hampus Lindholm is to this team. I think you're able to survive without him for 4 weeks, but I think the depth of the defense over on the left side is catching up. The ability to put him on a power play and his ability to create offense. Don't forget, he was the hero before David was the hero in Game 7 last year, scoring a goal late, jumping into rushes. So I think we're missing him is a problem, and then the power play. I just keep going to this power play. It is getting to the point where you're not even excited when they have a power play opportunity right now. Like, and I don't mean us, I mean, like, the team themselves are, like, you can see the stress when the power play has to jump over the boards, and whether it's the shorthanded goal the other night or going up against an Edmonton Oilers team who you know their power play is going to score at some point and not being able to match it, it's really hurting them.
Now, we heard fire Don Sweeney chants at the Garden in the game against Edmonton. I've been, like, I've kind of defend him. Like, I'm not saying it's a perfect roster by any means, but it seems like most fans are saying, oh, this roster is garbage. Like, what is, you know, what is Joe Sacco supposed to do? I look at the players on there. I feel like it's decent to good players just underachieving. Where do you come down? Like, to me, this is clearly a playoff roster, or am I wrong?
Yeah, I'm with you 100%, Keith. I get the sense there's a little bit of – I think the Patriots carry the water in this town, right? And I feel like because of what's gone on down there this season, it's carried over a little bit into the other teams, the negativity. And similar to – it's like either the coach or it's the roster. And because the Bruins fired their coach already, it has to be the roster. And I agree. I think going into this year, they added the top centerman in the free agent pool. They added the top left-handed defenseman, two things they needed vitally. And they assumed that they were going to at least get half as much as they did from the guys who had career years last year. And none of that's happened. I can't imagine I don't see how the power play clipping at 11%, which is the lowest in franchise history, if it ends the season today, how that's, on Don Sweeney. Like, the players are out there. There's a guy that scored 60 goals in this league out in that power play, and it's not clicking. So I agree with you. Of course, it's throughout the whole organization. When you lose games like that on home ice, no one's happy, but I don't go directly to that.
Well, but here's where I would say it's on Sweeney. I didn't mind the roster he put together in the offseason either. I'm with Keith and you on that. I thought they upgraded from a year ago, so I'm fine with that. But when it's clearly not working, and the power play's operating at, I didn't realize this, potentially a franchise worst 11%. Wow. And we're not talking about, you know, the Columbus Blue Jackets history or something like that. We're talking about a long history. What you can do is fix it. Like, you have to look at it and say, either, well, everybody's going to level out, they're going to regress to the mean, or this isn't working, I got to do something about it. So that's where I would blame Sweeney. Now you got to do something about it.
Yeah, and we're getting to the point in the NHL calendar where those deals start getting made. That starts to ramp up. Typically through the holidays, you'll get a couple deals right before the holiday of just clearing things out, and you're going to start seeing some movement. Now, the issue is, especially in the Eastern Conference, everyone feels like they have a chance to get in the playoffs, and how that shakes out. Who are the actual sellers? Who's actually willing to make moves for players that can help a power play? That kind of remains to be seen. But I think once we get through the mom's trip, the moms are on the trip this weekend, I think you open up movement between now and the Four Nations break.
How dicey could the next three games be? Tampa Bay, Florida, Tampa Bay again.
Sorry, what was that?
I was just saying how dicey could – I mean, you're riding a five-game losing streak as it is, and you got Tampa Bay twice and Florida over the next three games.
Yeah, you can't lose eight in a row in this league. You lose eight in a row, and you get to a week from now with no more points in the standing. Someone else in the league is going to have three, four, five. A few teams are going to have three, four, five more points a week from now in the standing. So you can't let it happen. I think, again, it's a weird, random thing, but having the moms on this trip couldn't have come at a better time to change the energy, to give you a little bit of positivity at this time of the year in this part of the schedule. So you hope you get a bump there. And listen, like I said, they did play pretty good hockey last week. They didn't play great the last couple of games, giving up too many goals, but they had it going pretty good against the Washington Capitals team, and they just have to get back to that and find a way this weekend to grab points.
You have any good mom's trip stories? These hockey moms get after it a little bit or what?
Oh, yeah, they're nuts. So unfortunately, my mom didn't get to go. My dad went three times. And as you can imagine, the dads, they're knuckleheads. Like, they get together, and it's just, you know, you don't know where they're sleeping. You're worried about where they are in the morning. And, you know, I'm getting up, like, you know, did my dad make it home? Like, was he okay? Did the road swallow him up? But the moms are like, the moms are way more fun because they become best friends instantly, right? Like, they're all best friends, I'm sure, at dinner last night, and they're telling stories about their kids. They're so proud, and the Chardonnay starts flying, and it gets hilarious. So it'll be fun to see them on the road for sure. It really is the best weekend as a pro, like as an NHLer. Like, I remember those weekends so vividly to have them around.
So maybe it's a stupid question. They're at everything on this trip. Like, they're out with you guys. They're going to like morning skates and stuff, or do they have like free time where all the moms are running wild around whatever city you're in, Tampa in this case?
No. I'm sure they had a full, like, for me, when we went, we'd have a big dinner. Everyone would be together, and you'd tell a little story about your dad at the meal and build that camaraderie. And then, of course, everyone would, you know, the dads would go find somewhere to hang out all night. And then, yeah, come to pregame skate. They get on the bus with you, and they're all wearing the jerseys. And they get a real insight into what their sons are doing on a daily basis. So yeah, it's full on. They'll be in the mix all day long today. It's really cool.
Oh, interesting. I forgot to ask you about Fabian Lysell last week when he made his debut. Obviously, he got sent back down, but we saw him for one game. What did you think of that game, and do you think we'll see him again anytime soon?
Yeah, I do. This is a perfect part of development. So a couple plays, and, you know, another really good job by the organization on a family part of it is that his family was all here for the holidays. So they were here for Christmas. His sister, his parents, his friends from Sweden were here. So very easy for them to all see his first game. It was a perfect time to have him called up. Again, one of those important things, especially the European guys, a lot of times their family can't get over here unless you give them time. In this situation, he had his parents there. So he gets to see the NHL for the first time. His family's here for it, but he also gets to really recognize what the pace is. You can play exhibition games. You can play preseason games. You can play in the minors, but until you actually play in a National Hockey League game, you don't really know. So now he knows. Now he has a little bit of a carrot dangling, and there's no question we're going to see him back here. I would guess maybe not sooner than later, meaning next week, but this time, at some point this season.
I got an idea, Razor, for and you got your dad's trip, you got your mom's trip. You tell me how you think this would go. Billet sister trip. How do you think that trip would go?
I'm not touching that one.
Yeah, the old billet sister trip. That's Andrew Raycroft, the Razor. You can check him out on Nesson. He joins us every Bruins Thursday. Razor, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks so much.
Awesome, guys. Stay warm. Have a good weekend.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Razor with his thoughts on the Bruins. I'm with you. I don't mind the Bruins roster, or at least I didn't going into
you
the year.
You didn't, but I mean, now it's not working, so you do have to do something.
I wasn't one of these guys saying Sweeney had a bad offseason. I was like, great, the Bruins spent Elias Lindholm. They've been linked to him for like 2 years. I didn't care as much about Zadorov, but fine. He's the top left-handed D-man on the market. Go get him. Fine. Like, I didn't have issues with that. I love paying Swayman. So I'm not retroactively crushing Sweeney for his offseason. I'm not doing that. But it doesn't work. It's not working. You fired the coach. You got a little bump from promoting Joe Sacco, and maybe, just maybe, you fattened up on a weak portion of the schedule. Fine. Now you got to figure it out. Now it is your job to solve that because, and Razor makes a good point here, the Patriots are the backdrop for how Bruins fans now are looking at their team, and they're going, well, wait a minute, regime change, although Elliott Wolf is still employed, so not a perfect analogy.
Yeah.
Regime change, fire Sweeney. And if they don't make the playoffs, or they circle the toilet and Sweeney does nothing and sits on his hands, that might be his fate.
But it is such a, like, that's not blaming the players in any case. And, you know, the Patriots players, as compared to the rest of the NFL, are subpar. Like, they're not, like, it's I think, crazy to scream at some of the players on the Patriots because they're not that good.
But trading players is blaming the players. Like, if I'm making trades and I'm improving the team.
You are doing that. No, that's true.
And so, yeah, I'm just telling you, it's not working, but you can't fire the whole roster.
No.
So you got to do something now.
Well, trade deadline's still a ways away. And, like, to Razor's point, a lot of these teams still think they're in it. So it's not like we've seen a lot of trades happen right now in the NHL.
No, but you also don't have to wait for everybody else to make trades.
No.
Like, you can be the one to start.
You need one other team. You need to wait for at least one other team.
But you don't need to wait. I hate this logic. Like, and this isn't just Razor. It's just like, Well, no trades happen yet. You hear that all the time in baseball.
Two to tango? You don't subscribe to that?
We'll have Bradford
on. I'm a big two to tango guy.
We'll have Bradford on in May, and it's like, well, nobody makes trades in May. And it's like, okay, I get they don't usually happen. They do. I think Shea Hillenbrand.
Be a visionary.
Shea Hillenbrand got traded in May. Sometimes
pissed me the hell off.
Early trades happen. Yeah. So, like, it does happen. I don't want to hear that it does. You can do it. You're allowed to do it.
All right.
And so there are teams that know they're out of it. You don't think you can trade with the Buffalo Sabres? I'm pretty sure they're out of it.
Who are you taking off the Sabres?
How about the Islanders?
Who do you want?
How about some of these terrible teams out west? He said the Eastern Conference. How about Nashville and Chicago and San Jose? None of those guys are ready to make trades. They're all out of it.
They're playing spoiler.
617-779-7937. Yeah, Billet.
I mean, they might lose eight in a row, though.
No, they definitely.
Yeah.
They don't beat Florida.
When he was talking about the mom's trip, I was going to make a Corey Perry joke, but then I was like, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that because that's not who I am.
No. I do like
that. And I think he said that didn't happen.
I do like the idea. Oh, did Corey Perry say that?
There was a thing. Yeah, I think they came out. I think both sides said did not happen.
Did not happen.
So you got to believe him.
Maybe that's what Trent Frederick was telling him when he
socked him in the face.
Pounded him the other day.
Don't look at my mom.
Are you looking at my mom, Corey?
Don't you dare
look at my mom. I know your track record, Corey.
Put her in the face.
But no, I do like the idea of the dads on the dad's trip. They just wake up the next day and they're like, did my dad even get back to the hotel?
Just hammered all over the city that they're in. It's a good time. Yeah. Your kid's in the NHL. I guess you know.
I mean, it sounds
get
great.
After it.
Sounds great. We'll get to your phone calls coming up. We'll get back to the Patriots. If you missed our 60-second plans to fix the Patriots coaching staff and the front office, you'll hear those again at high noon. I'm loath to take more plans based on how the last ones went.
Man, just clean it up.
But we're going to put you on the clock for 30 seconds. If you have plans for the Patriots, 617-779-7937. And, Jason Tatum, clap back at the haters. We'll get to that next.
Soft, it's crash out time. I don't even know what soft is. I mean, the quietest. Soft, no, soft. Watching the game the other day when they lost to Cleveland, that was with a capital or lowercase. Okay, a lot of soft debate going on there. I know what soft means. Oh boy.
Interesting discussion on the Gilbert Arenas podcast with Brandon Jennings.
Sure. I love Brandon Jennings, by the way. I'm a big Brandon Jennings fan. Brandon Jennings.
Maybe you've forgotten about him. He was a good player for a while.
You probably did. To be fair, I bet most people did forget about Brandon Jennings. What I like about Brandon Jennings is he came around at a time. Let me do a little history lesson real quick. He came around at a time where they had changed the rule. You couldn't go from high school to the pros.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a stretch there where guys were going like crazy. Like you know, LeBron and
Garnett,
Dwight
Kobe.
Howard, Sebastian Telfair, like a million guys. Then all of a sudden, Brandon Jennings, one of the best high school players in the country, was probably going to do that, even though he was a little guy. He was going to do that. They were like, no, you can't do that. You got to go to college. Like, not going to college. Got to go play in, like, Rome. So he went and played, I think, in Rome for a full year and then came back, got drafted, and didn't get drafted super high.
Lottery pick.
I think a lottery pick, but, like, not, like, right at the top. And he was awesome for a couple of years with the Bucks, and then he was just, like, done.
Was he the one that blew the layup when he was on the Bucks, or was that Brandon Knight? Like to beat a team to go or to go to overtime.
That might have been
he was
Brandon
a breakaway
Knight.
Breakaway layup.
I think it was probably Brandon Knight.
Look, Brandon Jennings doesn't have the basketball resume of Jason Tatum.
What about Brevin Knight?
But he had. Oh, I hate it. I couldn't stand Brandon Knight at Stanford.
Brandon Jennings was third in the Rookie of the Year in 2010.
Yeah,
and then he just kind of like he had like four or five good years, and then he was done. But anyway,
I think he scored like 55 early on in his career.
So but his point is,
yeah, he doesn't
Jason
have the,
Tatum soft.
Yeah, he doesn't have the basketball resume of Jason Tatum. He wasn't that player, but he's a good player. If you forgot about him, he was on the Gilbert Arenas podcast, and he didn't just call Tatum soft.
No,
he called Tatum the softest superstar in Celtics history.
Pause. How many?
First of all, gross.
First of all, how do you know?
Yeah.
Second of all, what qualifies as a superstar with the Celtics? I would think there's only like six.
Right.
Like if you're talking like Bill Russell.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's do a little harder or softer. One of my favorite games.
Good. Yeah.
Harder
or
softer? Bill Russell.
Game show music? Harder or softer? Bill Russell than Tatum?
Bill Russell harder.
Bill Russell definitely
harder. We should probably change how we play the game. We should probably. What about Bob Cousy? Harder? Softer.
These days?
No. Then. Prime Kuz.
Tatum might be tougher than the Kuz.
I don't know. You see Kuz dribble around everybody?
Yeah, all right handed. You know why he dribbled around in a circle? Because he only dribbled with his right
hand. Oh, there's no threes then. You had to do a little bit more dribbling.
I gotta be honest, I don't know on that
one. Like Larry Bird?
Yeah, Bird for sure.
Oh, Bird hard.
Yeah.
Like who are the other guys? Like who would you even like
Pierce? What do you mean? Who's the other guys?
Pierce Garnett?
they're both much harder.
Although, as much as I love Garnett, and I wouldn't say this to his face.
Fake hard?
I definitely wouldn't say that to his face. Kind of only picked on Zaza Pachulia, right? Like, he didn't really go after the other, like, big dogs out there.
Yeah. He went after Carmelo.
He didn't go after the other big dogs out there. Mm-hmm. You ever see Carmelo run from a fight? Yeah. Every time. Yeah, every single time. Yeah. And I'm a Carmelo fan.
I would be a Carmelo in a fight. I would be running from it. I just know it when
there
I see
was
it.
One yeah. at the Garden, I think, Madison Square Garden, right? Where like a guy got in his face. He took like a fallaway punch and then ran 90 feet. Like he literally ran away. But anyway, it's one of those things where you're like, all right, maybe he is, maybe he isn't. But it's a weird kind of, it's a weird burn the year after winning a title.
Uh-huh.
Because that would be something you'd say before he wins a title, and you're like, maybe this is one of the reasons why he hasn't. I mean, now, Tatum did hear it.
Here's the thing. We just did the list. I think Jennings is right, but you're right. The real story is Tatum heard it and answered.
And then he took he went to Instagram, and he wrote, he did the thing where you like capitalize some letters, lower others, that
like,
one.
I think of like the SpongeBob.
SpongeBob,
yeah.
So he did softest superstar in Celtic history with a cry emoji, and is this the one? Did Terp find the one with Carmelo?
Melo's running.
Yeah, you're like Denver. Look at him. Backpedal. You'll see him in here in a second. Right?
Yeah, there he
seems like, hold me back. Tackle him, please. So then it was just like a highlight reel of Tatum like crossing off the Denver Nuggets and scoring. And everyone's like liking it and everything else. But on there, Brandon Jennings, I think, responded like, oh, that's the guy. That's what I was looking for.
That's the energy I want, something like that. Yeah, I mean,
like that's the energy? Instagram post? Isn't that soft?
That's a loser. So thank you. This is what I was going to say.
They're both soft.
Like, Jennings, like, that's a loser post by you to be like, yeah. Oh, I called you out, but yeah.
Good Instagram post.
Yeah. Like, you loser.
Like, that doesn't.
But
if he was really hard, he wouldn't even be on Instagram.
Tatum made his point. People are like, yeah, get him, Jason. Yeah. No.
I know.
He heard the criticism on Gilbert Arenas' podcast from, by Tatum standards.
I also was a big Gilbert Arenas fan.
Me too. I like Gilbert Arenas. Together. But by Tatum standards, he heard the criticism from a nobody.
Yeah.
Brandon Jennings is a nobody.
Well, yeah.
We just had to explain his resume to listeners in Boston. To Tatum, Brandon Jennings is a nobody.
I was a fan, though.
And it's on the Gilbert Arenas podcast. And it's out of nowhere. And you could just ignore it, or you could be a giant softy, pay attention to it, amplify it,
yeah,
and put a little video of your highlights.
Yeah.
Like, Jason Tatum, you're better than Brandon Jennings. You are soft.
But also, the way the league is, you can be.
Yeah.
Like, isn't Durant?
Correct.
Yeah.
It works for Tatum. Like, they won. It works for Tatum. And now, to me, it's just more of am I a fan of Tatum's approach? And we talked about this clapping back at Steve Kerr when Steve Kerr was in the building. And he was soft and meek about it, and that is how Tatum is. Non-confrontational, soft, meek. I think Jennings is right, but
doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't seem to matter.
Tatum responding to it does kind of prove Jennings' point, though.
Yeah, a little bit. But then, they all had just bad answers to each other. And then Jennings is like, that's good. It's like, is it? So, yeah. But that's also how the NBA turns, mm-hmm. right? Like, these guys, like, that is something that would ruffle their feathers. It's also one of the reasons why like Kendrick Perkins is like no longer around the Garden, because he would actually criticize the team and all the teammates were like, wait, you can't say anything bad about these guys.
Yeah, you know what's a badass thing to do? Banish Perk from your duck boat. You know what's a badass thing to do? Yeah. Respond on Instagram to a nothing comment from Brandon Jennings. Or at least a comment from a nothing. I shouldn't call it a nothing comment.
Santo's catching strays on the text line about all this talk. We didn't even bring him up. You don't need to text that in.
Well, I think, you know what, Keith?
Yeah.
First day of the winter book, harder or softer. That's a game we can bring back.
It's a good game.
Yeah. You know, we break out the big guns on the first day. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Keith. 60-second plans to fix the Patriots.
Dominated
the world. Yeah.
Sure is.
7 inches soft.
Sure is.
Okay. So we'll get to your feedback, your plans for the Patriots. If you missed ours earlier, we each gave you a 60-second plan to fix the Patriots coaching staff and front office if you missed them. And if you have your own plans, we'll get back to it with all the latest news on Mike Vrabel next.